I'm taking a look at the political climb, how it changes the orange of the masses into lime. Then I spot this politician covered in slime. I remember his manifesto sounded sublime. Corruption has been spiced with curry and thyme. I look at the masses, many people just mime. A paradigm shift has to be the required enzyme to also inspire me in time for another rhyme. Hello and welcome to Life, Muse and Nelcom with me, Nelson Ayebine. On the show today, I'll be speaking with a friend and colleague of mine caught between being a journalist and an advocate. That conversation starts in a moment. Stay with me. Joining me, I have Esther Omokwayola. We've known each other for over 6 years now. Yeah, how did it all start?
Yeah, I started working together even before the program Africa Today, because I know there was a time when we were in the newsroom, and so it was more like, you know, let's see those of us who are around. And outside Africa Today, I think it was just generally newsroom colleagues and stuff. We used to interact around ourselves and we know ourselves, because the newsroom is like a clique and people working together. But when we came together closer was in Africa Today, when I got to stand in for one or two occasions for my colleague Mike, who had to go on break, you know. So then it was between you and Danny Boy, but I remember very well. To an extent, the relationship was just starting then, because, you know, we had a mix of, not just you had, I mean, I had Dan. Mm. So I was trying to understand the whole Africa Today program, as it were. But then, and funny enough, my first debut of the program, it was like, wow, blockbuster, yay! So I was like, wow. So I felt happy with myself. I felt cool. So when Mike returned from his break, he was like, he got comments from people, his friends, that, there was one Esther that anchored the Africa Today. The lady really did good. Keep tell her I'm cooked, but not working. So at that point, I felt elated. Yes, I have finally found my feet in my world of broadcasting. I was in the newsroom, then I was really meant to be anchoring news. I'll come and take a bulletin or two. You know, that was part of my description generally, but it wasn't really challenging. It didn't really make me explore the other things that we do as a Zen, because although I was coming from a previous TV station in Super Screen, I had more of reportorial to do production and news anchoring, but less of program presentation. So when I came to TVC, I would say my launching pad was Africa Today, when I got to, you know, have a big bang on it kind of stuff. It was a cool one. So after then once in a while when my goes on break, you know, I would take the program once or twice like that. Then it goes on leave and read what's standing. Then the final moment was king when it had to be taking up Africa Today and doing another program. I think TVC Breakfast. That's when I became the face of Africa Today. Then I became the madam of Africa Today.
and it's been a ride on its own, I guess.
Yeah, it has been a ride on its own. So I've been having so many comments, people like are liking the program. So the style of the program was the time I also had when we did a story on Ethiopia unrest and also Nnamdi Kanu's IPOP release from jail. So that was when the program, you know, got the eyes more or less shoot up a little. Because people really got to know about the program and everything. So just that everything was mainly on YouTube and also on Startime.
Yeah, and you got a lot of views.
Yeah, I got a lot of views on YouTube.
What has it really been like working with me as a person? Am I good at what I do?
You asking me that question? Yeah. Are you good at what you do? You know, definitely what you do. Now, for instance, your sickle cell is out of this world. I have told you that not once, not twice. So the time that I was reading a script, I felt like I was literally eating it as in a delicious, sumptuous meal. I was like, oh my Lord Jesus Christ. this is what they call a scrape. You understand?
Yeah.
All the T's has been crossed and the I's has been dotted, you know. So I was really, I really like that. That's not only that, you know, they're not only that the script is also part of the production process. The content, what we have to discuss, you know, there are things that you guide the team also. Okay, these are the issues that we are looking at. Let's see how we can bring this element, bring that element. So everything will be encompassing to not look like a one-sided kind of show. So to have it all areas, so let's have the kind of guests to bring and the issues that we're going to delve into. So that anyone who is listening will understand what the issues are and how, you know, it affects each and every other person in the community we call ourselves in Africa, for instance. That's what we're talking about. So beyond aspects, I would say you have contributed, or you contribute, you know, to the program in the ideas of what we should discuss. So that in itself has made me how to channel my thoughts whenever we are on. So it not look like, oh, we're just rambling in circles and we don't know where we are going or where we're moving to, right? But we're moving from a starting point to a finishing line, and that is in itself is a plus.
But you know, at some point we had to move on from Africa Today, and fate still brought us together, you know, with another show. We've worked together on TVC Insights. We worked together on Newsweek, and I noticed that away from Africa Today, you're also beginning to get to that point where you're not just a journalist, but you also certain times take the position of an advocate and then be the voice of the people. How has it been? What are some of the things that you've experienced in the course of your interaction with people out there?
Yeah, that's the point and two that you've just raised, you know, interaction with people. For instance, now, recently I went to Kebbi State and I got to experience firsthand what some rural dwellers go through. You know, it's not easy for people in the north who are not having what we have in the south.
You
have everything that's up and cold. You have power supply, you have water, you have basic amenities, but up north they have to live from little or live with little or nothing. They basically live from scratch. You know, if you go to their homes, they don't even have the houses that we have in luxury. Everywhere you see, you know, skyscrapers, new buildings with ACs, air fans, and all this. No, most of them they are living in huts. Attached roofs, you know, and you'll be like, how are these people managing? And they're surviving, and they're living, and they have the government, they have people that they say they represent them in government. And you get to wonder what is happening. And we say we have leaders, we have government, we have supposed elected officials, you know. So all these things, it's more like it pains me because it's a reality that stares one in the face, that in this present age we are living, some people are really far off from government presence.
And livelihood.
So when I saw this, I was moved because I was actually taken out to that area for a story altogether, which is just to enlighten the general public on what an international donor agency is doing for various communities in the north, talking about Oxfam now.
Yeah.
So they are just talking about, okay, these people, they are finding it difficult to survive, to feed their homes and families, but in one way or the other, we'll be able to support them with cash crops, not cash crops, rather, with loans, with food loans, with other basic things that they can use to, you know, fend for their households, fend for their families, which ordinarily the government should do, because it only starts to a point that there is so much people need that is lacking. So if not for the support they are getting from international donor agencies, they wouldn't be where they are today. Climate change is an issue in the north. So if that can be addressed, because that would not make them, most of the people who are living there, to come down south, where you see majority of them having to live on the bridges, go on the roads, begging, because they feel that they have nothing over there to help them live better. So they feel, okay, if they come down south, they will get an opportunity. But the most difficult thing is that majority of them don't know of any other means of live other than to beg. And most of them who are from the north, the only thing that they see is farming.
They don't have any most farming. Basic skills apart
basic
from
skills, exactly,
you know, to make their life
farming.
Better.
Exactly.
So there's also a case of out of school children, you know, being abandoned.
Scale as well. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, in a massive scale, and all these things, you have a government that says, oh, yes, I am representing my people. And, you know, it also begs to wonder, are these people really out there for the purpose of the people or for themselves?
Mm.
You know, so all these things are really, has been an eye-opener for me, that there's so much stories that one has not been too much stories to tell,
yeah.
That it's only left for you to imagine, because you know when you're in the newsroom you get to see the stories on script, you just read them and you know it goes with light, yeah. But when you are there first hand to witness it, you understand the pain, the trauma, the level of is that say ignorance, you know, because when a society is not enlightened on what they should, what they deserve to have.
Yeah.
They feel that, oh, when any man or any politician comes and raises 5,000 or 1,000 to them, rank a baby, and they sell off their votes, you know, to such persons to say that, okay, the person has his or his interest at heart. But it's not so. Once the person goes into the power, the person forgets the purpose
altogether.
Exactly, he's been elected to do. Most of them, they go to the center, they go there and lodge, they go to Abuja, they forget their home state where they are from. Take care of the people that they voted them into power.
Wow.
You know, so all these things, when you see that, it just, you know, it's heartbreaking. It just breaks my heart.
Yeah.
So,
and it goes to show that, yeah, even though our circumstances make us sometimes, well, our stories can change us.
Mm-hmm.
And it is these stories that we keep telling from the perspective of a journalist that can, you know, force government and people in authority to really
take
action and bring in the much needed change. Esther Omokwariola, my colleague, my friend, thank you very much for taking time out to share with me. It's
thank
a pleasure, and
we'll
do this from time to time. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
have thank a great day.
You.
Bye.
Yeah, you too. Yeah.
Yeah,
bye.
Bye. Yeah.
In life, some go through difficulties and stay dejected. Some go with the crowd and end up misdirected. Some skate through the hurdles, refined and corrected. When hope is rekindled and faith is resurrected. To whom much is given, much is expected. One way or the other, everyone is affected. Nature seeks balance, not the need to be perfected. Nothing is for no reason, and everything is connected. And that's all for today on Life, Muse, and Nelcon. Until the next one, I'm Nelson Ayebene, urging you to keep doing good. Bye for now.